Private armies change names, wealthy donors. By successively changing its name, the Islamic State's band of soldiers appeared to have copied some procedures of the Blackwater Private Army. The security firm once known as Blackwater changed its name twice in less than 3 years. Blackwater guards were involved in a string of high-profile shootings, particularly the 2007 shootings in Nisour Square in Baghdad that left 17 civilian Iraqis dead. Founded by former Navy SEAL Eric Prince, the original Blackwater cultivated a special operations mystique. But it was tarnished by a string of high-profile incidents, including a deadly 2007 shootout in Iraq that ultimately led to its reorganization and rebranding as XE Services. Mr. Prince left the business in 2010, selling his stake to investor group USTC Holdings LLC. Nathan Hodge, company once known as Blackwater, ditches XE for yet another new name, Wall Street Journal, December 12, 2011. The security contractor Academy LLC, previously known as XE and even more previously known as Blackwater Worldwide, agreed to pay a $7.5 million fine to settle charges related to arms smuggling and unauthorized possession of automatic weapons. That's of course on top of a $42 million settlement it reached with the State Department in 2010 for violating the Arms Export Control Act and the International Trafficking in Arms Regulations. So what did these mercenaries allegedly do this time? The Associated Press had the details. The list of violations includes possessing automatic weapons in the United States without registration, lying to federal firearms regulators about weapons provided to the King of Jordan, passing secret plans for armored personnel carriers to Sweden and Denmark without U.S. government approval, and illegally shipping body armor overseas. In an act of neighborly hospitality, the company also allegedly provided training to the Canadian military without the needed U.S. licenses. Using a catch-all term for the company, which keeps changing its name after successive scandals, the FBI's Chris Brees didn't mince words in court. For an extended period of time, Academy/Blackwater operated in a manner which demonstrated systemic disregard for U.S. government laws and regulations, he said. John Hudson, time for Blackwater to change its name again, The Atlantic, August 8, 2012. A report by Jeremy Scahill in The Nation, Blackwater's Black Ops, September 15, 2010, revealed that Blackwater, the largest mercenary army in the world, afterward called Academy Services, was sold to the multinational Monsanto. Monsanto is an American multinational agricultural biotechnology corporation based in Missouri. It is a leading producer of genetically engineered, GE, seed and of the herbicide glyphosate, which it markets under the Roundup brand. Blackwater was renamed XE in 2009 after becoming ill-famed in the world with numerous reports of abuses in Iraq, including massacres of civilians. It is now called Academy. The company, whose name is synonymous with some of the worst excesses of the Iraq War and which earned more than $1 billion protecting U.S. facilities and personnel during the conflict, is back in the news because of an explosive New York Times story revealing that one of its top officials in Baghdad threatened to kill a State Department auditor who raised questions about its lucrative contracts. Eric Prince, Blackwater's flamboyant founder and former chief executive officer, moved to Abu Dhabi, where he has been linked to quixotic efforts to build a mercenary force for the United Arab Emirates and a paramilitary outfit designed to battle Somali pirates. He also wrote a book defending his actions during the war and was working on creating a video game featuring unnamed contractors shooting their way through a war zone. Kate Brannon, Blackwater's descendants are doing just fine, Foreign Policy, July 1, 2014. According to Jeremy Scahill, deals with multinationals like Monsanto, Chevron, and financial giants such as Barclays and Deutsche Bank were channeled through companies owned by Eric Prince, a former Navy SEAL and the originator of Blackwater. Academy remains the largest private contractor of the U.S. Department of State Security Services. Halliburton, once run by Dick Cheney, was awarded at least $39.5 billion in contracts related to the Iraq War. Monsanto's first product was the artificial sweetener saccharin, which it sold to the Coca-Cola Company. By the 1940s, Monsanto was a major producer of petroleum plastics, including polystyrene and synthetic fibers. The company also manufactured contentious products such as the insecticide DDT, PCBs, Agent Orange, and recombinant bovine somatotropin. Monsanto began manufacturing DDT in 1944, along with a few other companies. The insecticide was used in the fight against malaria-transmitting mosquitoes. But due to DDT's toxicity, its use in the United States was finally banned in 1972. It was also reported that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the philanthropic idea of Microsoft founder Bill Gates, purchased 500,000 shares in Monsanto in 2010 worth more than $23 million. Robert Kennedy, Jr. called vaccines a medically induced Holocaust. According to Ethan A. Huff of the Natural News Network, the Gates Foundation is up to something other than eradicating disease and feeding the world's poor. It turns out that the Gates family legacy has long been one of trying to dominate and control the world's systems, including in the areas of technology, medicine, and now agriculture. Bill Gates' father, William H. Gates Sr., has long been involved with the eugenics group Planned Parenthood, a rebranded organization birthed out of the American Eugenics Society. In a 2003 interview with PBS Bill Moyers, Bill Gates admitted that his father used to be the head of Planned Parenthood. Gates also admitted during the interview that his family's involvement in reproductive issues throughout the years has been extensive, referencing his own prior adherence to the beliefs of eugenicist Thomas Robert Malthus, who believed that populations of the world need to be controlled through reproductive restrictions. Though Gates claims he now holds a different view, it appears as though his foundation's initiatives are just a modified Malthusian approach that much more discreetly reduces populations through vaccines and GMOs. Ethan A. Huff, February 29, 2012. Bill Gates may be one of the most destructive do-gooders on the planet because he is rich enough to get what he wants and he has a high opinion of his own intelligence. It is hard enough fighting big pharma, big government, and big medicine on vaccines, but when another opponent is one of the wealthiest and most influential philanthropists in the world, it is even harder. Dr. Joseph Merkula, Monsanto's unlikely new business partner, a name you know well, Merkula.com, March 5, 2011. The Zika virus broke out in a district of Brazil where genetically modified mosquitoes had been released. In 2014, Reuters reported that Monsanto, the world's largest seed company, planned to launch a corn seed plant in Ukraine, long considered Europe's breadbasket. Previously, there was a ban on private sector land ownership in the country, but it was lifted just in time for Monsanto to have its way with the Ukraine. The World Bank and International Monetary Fund, IMF, is helping biotech run the latest war in Ukraine. Make no mistake that what is happening in the Ukraine now is deeply tied to the interests of Monsanto, Dow, Bayer, and other big players in the poison food game. In fact, a bit of political maneuvering by the IMF gave the Ukraine a $17 billion loan, but only if they would open up to biotech farming and the selling of Monsanto's poison crops and chemicals, destroying a farmland that is one of the most pristine in all of Europe. Farm equipment dealer, Deere, along with seed producers DuPont and Monsanto, will have a heyday. Kristina Sarek, Ukraine agreed to a Monsanto land grab to get a $17 billion loan from the International Monetary Fund IMF, Natural Society and Global Research, January 11, 2015. In 1954, Monsanto partnered with German chemical giant Bayer to form Mobay and market polyurethanes in the United States. In the 1960s and 1970s, Monsanto was one of the leading producers of Agent Orange, a defoliant and herbicide for United States Armed Forces operations in Vietnam. Monsanto Biotechnology was among the first to genetically modify a plant cell, along with three academic teams, which was announced in 1983, and was among the first to conduct field trials of genetically modified crops, which it did in 1987. Its seed patenting model has been criticized as bioprosy and a threat to biodiversity. In 2015, experts said Roundup is a probable human carcinogen. Monsanto was ordered to pay $289 million damages in a 2018 Roundup cancer trial. No project is more interesting at the moment than the Doomsday Seed Bank on the Norwegian island of Spitsbergen, part of the Svalbard Isle Group. Bill Gates, along with the Rockefeller Foundation and Monsanto, invested millions in a seed bank on the Barents Sea close to the Arctic Ocean, some 1,100 kilometers from the North Pole. The bank will have dual blast-proof doors with motion sensors, two airlocks, and walls of steel-reinforced concrete 1 meter thick. It will contain up to 3 million different varieties of seeds from the entire world, so that crop diversity can be conserved for the future, according to the Norwegian government. Seeds will be specially wrapped to exclude moisture. F. William Engdahl, Doomsday Seed Vault in the Arctic, Bill Gates, Rockefeller, and the GMO giants know something we don't. Global Research, 2007. Monsanto was purchased in 2016 by Bayer AG in a $66 billion takeover. In January 2015, Chuck Norris, karate star of more than 20 films and the long-running TV series Walker, Texas Ranger, released an article speaking out against GMOs and Roundup. In a commentary entitled Chuck Norris Raises Red Flag Over Monsanto and featured on WorldNet Daily, Norris spoke out plainly against the destructive force of Monsanto. Yet most people at the time were not awake to the reality that friendly nerd Bill Gates, the richest gentleman in America, had reserves in Monsanto's glyphosate herbicide, population-controlling vaccines, and the largest mercenary army on Earth. After selling his companies, Eric Prince moved to Abu Dhabi, where he was implicated in a handful of secretive and largely unsuccessful security contracts like training Somalis to combat pirates. But Blackwater/XE/Academy wasn't the only army to change its name in an effort to distance itself from past sticky situations. In June 2014, the group previously known as the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, ISIS, and also known as ISIL renamed itself Islamic State and proclaimed its leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi as caliph, the head of the state. ISIS spearheaded an offensive that overran much of Iraq's Sunni Arab heartland after seizing major territory in neighboring Syria, and carried out a series of atrocities in both countries. In Iraq, it was accused by rights groups of carrying out mass executions in the city of Tikrit. ISIS lynched and crucified rival rebel fighters in Syria. If it were up to the terrorists themselves, the world would be calling them the Islamic State in recognition of the caliphate they have declared. The rebrand launched in June 2014 has spread, despite pleas from leading Muslims and other groups not to legitimize their status. The British and US governments are among those using the acronym ISIL, while the name ISIS is more commonly seen. Adding to the confusion last week, the French announced they would use the Arabic-derived term Daesh to replace their previous name, EIIL, L'État Islamique en Irak et en Syrie. The four competing names are only a handful of those used by ISIS, which emerged in 1999 when it was established by Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, a Jordanian militant who allegedly ran a terror training camp and orchestrated bombings and beheadings in Iraq. Lizzie Dearden, ISIS vs. Islamic State vs. ISIL vs. Daesh, what do the different names mean and why does it matter? The Independent, September 23, 2014. On November 8, 2014, there were unconfirmed reports of ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi's death after an airstrike in Mosul. He was also reportedly killed in early 2017. Meanwhile, reports from Iran said that al-Baghdadi was a CIA Israeli Mossad agent and actor called Elliot Shimon. Rumors claimed that NSA documents leaked by Edward Snowden reveal this connection. But Snowden's lawyer called that story a hoax. The atrocious leader of ISIS was once a bespectacled secretary working in an office administration department. In February 2015, Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir said the CIA and Mossad stand behind ISIS and Boko Haram, a sect infamous for kidnappings. There is no Muslim who would carry out such acts, he alleged. By autumn of 2017, ISIS was defeated in its caliphate in Syria and Iraq. As said by a World Net Daily report, a Jordan base was the site of covert aid to insurgents targeting Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. U.S. instructors working at the secret base in Jordan, according to informed Jordanian officials, trained Syrian rebels in 2012 who would later join the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, or ISIS. The officials said dozens of future ISIS members were trained at the time as part of covert aid to the insurgents targeting the regime of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad in Syria. The officials said the training was not meant to be used for any future campaign in Iraq. The Jordanian officials said all ISIS members who received U.S. training to fight in Syria were first vetted for any links to extremist groups like Al-Qaeda. Aaron Klein, Blowback. U.S.-trained Islamists who joined ISIS, WND, June 17, 2014. It emerged that ISIS was funded for years by wealthy donors in Kuwait, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia, three U.S. allies that have dual agendas in the war on terror. The extremist group that is threatening the existence of the Iraqi state was built and grown for years with the help of elite donors from American supposed allies in the Persian Gulf region. There, the threat of Iran, Assad, and the Sunni-Shiite sectarian war trumps the U.S. goal of stability and moderation in the region. As ISIS takes over town after town in Iraq, they are acquiring money and supplies including American-made vehicles, arms, and ammunition. The group reportedly scored $430 million when they looted the main bank in Mosul. They reportedly now have a stream of steady income sources, including from selling oil in the northern Syrian regions they control, sometimes directly to the Assad regime. Everybody knows the money is going through Kuwait and that it's coming from the Arab Gulf, said Andrew Tabler, senior fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Kuwait's banking system and its money changers have long been a huge problem because they are a major conduit for money to extremist groups in Syria and now Iraq. Josh Rajan, America's allies are funding ISIS, The Daily Beast, June 14, 2014. Disturbing video from live leak showed U.S. General Paul Ivayeli with the Free Syrian Army, FSA, trucks after he entered Syrian territory by crossing the Turkish border. Tim King of the Salem News said, the U.S. once again has backed the wrong horse. By subsidizing envoys like John McCain to arm and fund Arab Spring revolutionaries, the U.S. was re-establishing the caliphate. In fact, according to LiveLeak, the doors of the FSA pickups bear the words, Martyrs of Badr Brigade. This is a terrorist group out of Idlib, Syria, responsible for the abduction and murder of Kurdish women and children. Senior editor Gordon Duff of Veterans Today pointed the finger at retired U.S. General Paul Ivayeli as the person in charge of ISIS. Ivayeli was the senior military analyst for the Fox News Channel from 2000 to 2007. Gordon Duff also alleged that the ISIS experts at Fox News were actually working for them in some capacity as ISIS public relations. Retired General Paul Ivayeli is one of the founders of the NSA, the founder of the U.S. Army Psychological Warfare School and wrote the papers establishing the Psychological Warfare School in partnership with NSA General Michael Aquino, head of the Temple of Seth, which both have been linked to a child sacrifice ring. Senior commander of ISIS is retired U.S. General Paul Ivayeli, Veterans Today, October, 2014. In July 2016, Fox News correspondent Megyn Kelly made sexual harassment allegations against former Fox News CEO Roger Ailes, 1940-2017. Fox ousted commentator Bill O'Reilly amid sexual aggravation claims. Rupert Murdoch built his media empire on a cannibalistic feral version of tabloid journalism that eventually ended up bringing him down, said the author of a book about the News Corp founder and owner of the parent company of Fox News, The New York Post, and The Wall Street Journal. In Murdoch's world, The Last of the Old Media Empires, 2013, David Fokenflik shows how Murdoch built News Corporation into a media empire spanning 50 countries, starting with a small newspaper in Adelaide, Australia. Then how, over 2 years, phone hacking scandals by his News of the World reporters threatened to wreck the conglomerate. As Rupert Murdoch made his way into Parliament on July 19, 2011, to answer questions about the phone hacking scandal engulfing his media empire, shaving cream was thrown in his face. Murdoch was under investigation by Scotland Yard after secretly recorded tapes appeared to contradict public denials that his staff made payments to police officers. Murdoch got further subsidy after rival media tycoon Robert Maxwell's mysterious death off his yacht in 1991. Folk and Flick covered the hacking scandals for NPR. In the 2011 inquiry, Fleet Street journalists were shown to have broken into celebrity cell phones and even the phone of a murder victim. Folk and Flick said the plot was a British phenomenon. There was double standard. The widespread hacking of messages on mobile phones turned out to involve thousands of people, but there was also widespread bribery by now certainly acknowledged and in some cases confessed to get knowledge and information from law enforcement officials that they couldn't under the law, Folk and Flick said in an interview with CBC Slang and O'Leary Exchange. Tabloid tale of Rupert Murdoch's rise and fall, CBC News, October 22, 2013. In a sharp critique of America's highest-rated cable news channel, President Obama said in an interview with Rolling Stone magazine that Fox News promoted a point of view that was destructive to the growth of the United States. Mr. Obama also suggested that Fox's parent, the News Corporation, put profit ahead of politics. Referring to Rupert Murdoch, the News Corporation chief executive, he said, "I suspect that if you ask Mr. Murdoch what his number one concern is, it's that Fox is very successful." Brian Stelter, Obama says Fox News promotes destructive viewpoint, The New York Times, September 28, 2010. According to Tony Rogers, a journalism expert for the internet-based About Group, White House Communications Director Anita Dunn denounced Fox as more of a political operation than a real news organization, and vowed to push back hard when one of the network's commentators says something particularly nasty or untrue. In 2016, Rupert Murdoch, aged 85, married Jerry Hall, Mick Jagger's ex-spouse. Walt Disney Co. in 2017 announced plans to buy much of the media property of Rupert Murdoch's 21st Century Fox. In 2017, Steve Bannon, who was executive chief of the right-wing Breitbart News, briefly served as the White House senior counselor for U.S. President Donald Trump. Milo Yiannopoulos, a gay former Breitbart News editor popular with the white nationalist alt-right movement, was banned from Twitter for encouraging racist and sexist tweets. The news media has come a long way since the days of Hitler's doubles. The use of crisis actors and political decoys has become a popular focus of the internet. There are, without question, companies that employ and rent out actors to pose as participants on either side of drills and emergency enactments. The use of decoys and doubles by prominent and vulnerable politicians is standard practice. To believe otherwise is simply naive. Alec Baldwin played a fool President Trump caricature on Saturday Night Live. The German newspaper Die Welt published a meeting with Vladimir Putin's ex-wife, claiming that he had been outdone by a body double. In an amateur video showing U.S. Vice President Joe Biden chatting with a group of folks, his double was seen smiling in the background. Conspiracy theorists tweeted that Melania Trump also used a fake body double in 2017. Steve Bridges was an actor who distinctively impersonated President George W. Bush at a White House Correspondents' Association dinner. Bridges gained international attention after the 2006 event in which he impersonated Bush while the president himself shared the stage beside the actor. In 2012, Bridges was found dead from an allergic reaction inside his Los Angeles home. On History Channel's miniseries show The Bible, Mohamed Mehdi Wazani, a highly acclaimed Moroccan actor, played Satan with an uncanny resemblance to President Barack Obama. Bloggers immediately complained. Eager to avoid controversy, the producers decided to edit the character out of their 2014 feature film, called Son of God. Historian Gavriel D. Rosenfeld argued that a variety of forces, some historical, some social, have dulled our awareness of the evils unique to Nazism. The use of one of history's most notorious villains in a lighthearted manner is one of a flood of issues that set off alarms for Rosenfeld in his 2015 book, Hi Hitler, How the Nazi Past is Being Normalized in Contemporary Culture. Rosenfeld argues that in three major areas, academia, politics, and popular culture, the Nazis, Hitler, and the Holocaust have undergone a major process of normalization. This means that in our collective memory, that event and its perpetrators are less different, less of an abnormality in history, than previously agreed upon. One of the more significant shifts occurred when the Soviet Union disintegrated. Eastern European countries and their leaders, free from the yoke of Moscow, were eager to promote their narrative as double victims, of both the Nazis and the Soviets. In doing so, they not only glossed over their population's complicity in Nazi crimes but also made what the Nazis did to the Jews less, for lack of a better word, exceptional. William O'Connor, Hi Hitler. The Domestication of Nazism, The Daily Beast, March 14, 2015. Has the image of Hitler somehow softened because of its omnipresence in popular culture? A fake mustache is an item of prosthetic makeup used in dressing up, acting, espionage and crime. Comedian and film actor Groucho Marx, Julius Henry Marx, of the Marx Brothers, wore a grease paint mustache during his years in vaudeville. A cat with a unique fur pattern was nicknamed Adolf Hitler. A U.S. retailer ran into trouble in 2013 after customers noticed that one of its stainless steel tea kettles showed a striking resemblance to Adolf Hitler. Bemused motorists took photographs of the huge JCPenney billboard advertising the kettle as they drove past it on the 405 Interstate Highway near Culver City in California, one of America's busiest stretches of roads. "That Hitler looks like a kettle," commented one user of Reddit, one of several websites where the image was posted over the weekend. "The tea kettle on this JCPenney billboard looks a lot like Hitler," The Telegraph, May 28, 2013. Architect Michael Graves, who had also fashioned high-style products for Target and the Museum of Modern Art in New York, designed the stainless steel teapot. Despite being crafted by one of the biggest names in architecture, the tea kettle was taken off the shelves. After receiving some heated, unwanted media attention focused on the pot in question, the store chain removed references to the kettle on its website and removed the billboards in Los Angeles that advertised it. The kettle has also been pulled from retailers, where it had not already completely sold out. Stephen Williams, Tempest over Teapot as Hitler Kettle is Pulled by JCPenney, New York Daily News, May 30, 2013. The cartoon character Pepe the Frog has become an idol for racist and anti-Semitic cults. The U.S. is being swamped by a groundswell of anti-science, anti-intellectual thinking, particularly regarding the Nazi singularity. Has the most powerful nation lost its mind? If the rise in uninformed opinion was limited to impenetrable subjects, that would be one thing, but the scourge seems to be spreading. Everywhere you look these days, America is in a rush to embrace the stupid. Hell-bent on a path that's not just irrational, but often self-destructive. Common sense solutions to pressing problems are eschewed in favor of bumper sticker simplicities and blind faith. Jonathan Gatehouse, America Dumbs Down, Maclean's, May 15, 2014. Donald Trump hosted The Apprentice NBC TV game show, since 2004, known for his catchphrase, "You're fired." But the U.S. media didn't like him, so he turned to Vladimir Putin. The nickname used for entrepreneur Trump was the Donald, a casual alpha male hint of the Don, meaning a crime family boss. Donald Trump's relationship with Russia, as told by commentator Rachel Maddow, depicted him as a linchpin of the Russian mafia. When President Trump let loose a full-scale missile attack on Syria in April 2017 and dropped on Afghanistan the most powerful U.S. non-nuclear massive ordnance air blast, MOAB, bomb, nicknamed the mother of all bombs, pro-Russian activists like Alex Jones were upset, saying, "This is not what we voted for." A 2016 foiled coup in Turkey resulted in a harsh turnabout in Syria. Dictatorial Turkish President Recep Erdogan said that Fethullah Gulen, a US-based cleric, was responsible for the coup attempt. Journalist Seymour Hersh reported that the Pentagon sent intelligence to Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad to undermine the CIA's goal of overthrowing Assad. Hersh cast doubts on the killing of Osama bin Laden and wrote that an executive assassination ring answered to former Vice President Cheney, ex-boss of Halliburton. Instead of respecting a few good men, corrupt elements of the CIA outsourced wartime responsibilities to worm-eaten mercenaries and international brigands. Blackwater soon became the world's largest mercenary army, see page 467. Its disregard for U.S. laws, arms smuggling, and the massacre of civilians would form a role model for Islamic State mercenary careers. Trump ended CIA aid for Syrian rebels. Ron Paul asked him to bring U.S. troops home. The Wolfman became one of Sigmund Freud's most famous cases of psychoanalysis. The Wolfman, or Sergei Pankjev, was a patient of Freud in a report that was published in 1918 under the title From the History of an Infantile Neurosis, A U.S. Durchgeschichte einer Infantilen Neurose. Freud wrote that he treated a man's crippling depression by analyzing his childhood dream of white wolves. Sergei Pankjev, 1887-1979, a wealthy Russian aristocrat, was described as suffering from incapacitating compulsions from a babyhood dream of wolves. A werewolf in myth is also known as a lycanthrope. When the moon grows full, or by wearing a serpent girdle, various men build up an abnormal amount of hair and transform into wolves. To decipher the starting point of his infantile neuroses, Freud believed that the dream was the result of Pankjev having witnessed his parents performing sex. Some theorists deny Freud's centrality of infantile sexuality. The Observer reported that Mohammed Imwazi, the Islamic State terrorist known as Jihadi John, was identified by British intelligence but allowed to escape to Syria. It was also revealed that the British intelligence service MI5 had been keeping track of Imwazi since 2008. Imwazi, who was a computer programming graduate of the University of Westminster and lived in Queen's Park, West London, was said to have killed journalist James Foley in a 2014 video. A drone strike in Syria killed Imwazi on November 12, 2015. The British advocacy group CAGE claimed Mohammed Imwazi was interrogated by the security service and its agents tried to recruit him as an informant. It would make Imwazi the latest person with alleged terror links found to be known to the British security services following the fanatics who butchered soldier Lee Rigby. The group claimed an MI5 agent tried to recruit Imwazi as an informant. According to CAGE's website, the operative said, "Listen Mohammed, you've got the whole world in front of you, you're 21 years old, you just finished uni, why don't you work for us?" Sam Webb, Jihadi John, MI5 tried to recruit fanatic before he joined ISIS in Syria, Mirror, February 26, 2015. Dubbed Jihadi John, Imwazi was the face of ISIS brutality. He grew up in West London and is likely to have been radicalized in Britain. Mint Press News commented, "Britain's loudest extremists have been groomed by the security services." A new Jihadi John with a British accent appearing in an execution video, January 2016, was allegedly Londoner Siddharth Adhar, a British Muslim convert who adopted the name Abu Rumaysa al-Britani and fled to the Islamic State after he was arrested in 2015. ISIS apparently has a thing for British executioners, said researcher Alan West. Indeed, there were claims that the British monarch was a distant ancestor of the Prophet Muhammad. In 1986, Berks Peerage, a British authority on royal pedigrees, said the Queen is a descendant to the founder of Islam after tracing her family tree back 43 generations. In 2017, an ISIS fighter with a British accent threatened Donald Trump in a video. The militant actions of the Islamic State and its counterparts contributed to the rise of moderate Islam in the Islamic world. In the wake of the Paris attacks by Islamist militants, French students were encouraged towards a more moderate Islam. "It's an effort towards moderate Islam," said Kamal Kabtain, rector of Lyon's Grand Mosque, which hosts such a program. "You can't deliver the same message here as in Kabul or Mali. but complicating the task is the undefined nature of what a French Islam could be, given the myriad interpretations of Islam and cultures making up the fabric of Muslims in France. Chinelab and Gilbert Realhack, Quest for French Islam Goes to the Classroom, Reuters, March 18, 2015. Western politicians were portraying an unnaturally brutal picture of Islam in fake news media in order to introduce a moderate or westernized version that would be controlled by Germanic Anglo-Muslims. The supposed Fourth Reich, Red House, page 430, was to be an economic empire, ultimately linked to registered money lenders of German Zionist institutions, Frankfurter Schule. But when the state of the banking industry declined to a point of crisis, the world was on the brink of financial and economic meltdown. Therefore, a so-called Fifth Reich was put into action. Germanic Anglo-Muslims would finally be in charge of oil dealings. The strategic Muslim players would be components of the royal establishment's eugenicist committee of cousins. It's the DNA haplogroups, stupid. 4. If final authority and global resources went to another assembly, a monarch could not reign. That, regrettably, was how the birthright Game of Thrones was played. Clark Rockefeller was a con man that duped people across America. To police, he was Christian Gerhardt's writer, a man of many identities, a suspected killer on the run from a 1985 murder. In 2013, Gerhardt's writer, who posed as a Rockefeller, was sentenced to 27 years to life in prison for the California cold case murder of John Sohus. But the world's most notorious fraud was another beast, a conjurer whose image somehow softened. Aleister Crowley's esteem for Islam was no particular secret. He studied Arabic and Islamic mysticism. According to some reports, he was the spawn of a Quaker donor insemination, a lost prince of Hanover. But he was not a saint. He lived a life of extreme indulgence in sensual pleasures. His unrestrained lust and sensuality ended in heavy alcohol and drug consumption. With bloodshot eyes, he was a nocturnal prince of hangover, awash with nausea and vomiting. Hangover, 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 over, over, bent over. Hangover, 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 over, over, bent over. Party's over, it ain't over. Try to make a bad memory over and over. Sigh, Snoop Dogg, Hangover, 2014.